This is How Success Happens, where the staff of Entrepreneur chats with innovators, writers, artists, chefs, and a range of other unique personalities to better understand the traits that make excellence possible.
Nobody in Silicon Valley thinks it's actually them. They think everybody else is like this.
One of my regrets actually now, we should have pulled the plug sooner.
It's amazing when the universe sees you commit, how all of a sudden all these resources start to come together.
Thanks for joining us. And now, How Success Happens.
Welcome to How Success Happens. I'm Nina Zipkin, staff writer at Entrepreneur.com. Today, my guest is Jen Glantz. She is the founder and CEO of Bridesmaid for Hire, the creator of the blog, The Things I Learned From, and the host of the podcast, You're Not Getting Any Younger. Jen is a speaker, a writing teacher, and runs a coaching and consulting business called Jen and Juice. She's also the best-selling author of All My Friends Are Engaged and Always a Bridesmaid for Hire. We'll hear more about Jen's journey, but first, a word from our sponsors. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially for small businesses. You don't have the time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations. Old school payroll providers just aren't built for the way you work today. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy to get things right. PC Mag and Fit Small Business have called Gusto the best payroll for small businesses. Gusto makes payroll a breeze. In fact, 9 out of 10 users say Gusto is easier to use than other payroll solutions. Gusto saves you time. 72% of customers spend less than 5 minutes to run payroll. Gusto is reliable. 4 out of 5 customers actually reduce payroll errors after switching to Gusto. Don't believe it? Just Google them. People love Gusto. How often do you actually love your payroll provider? Most small businesses don't have an HR expert, but you don't need one to use Gusto. With great software and great service, you can focus on your business, not payroll and paperwork. You no longer have to be a big company to get great technology, great benefits, and great service for your team. To help support the show, Gusto is offering our listeners an exclusive limited-time deal. Sign up today and you'll get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Just go to gusto.com/HSH. And now for our second sponsor. Here's some advice for anyone that sends emails to their customers. You deserve a better email marketing platform, one that's actually designed with your type of organization in mind. And unlike other email providers, Emma puts its customers first, offering powerful email marketing with a personal touch. With Emma, you'll have everything you need to connect your data, build your audience, and do your most successful marketing ever. Because their easy-to-use platform makes advanced functionality accessible to everyone on your team, no technical skills required. You can even connect Emma with the services you count on to run your business, like Salesforce and Google Analytics. Not to mention, Emma's award-winning team is always ready to support you on your email marketing strategy, design, list migration, and more. So put the power of email experts behind your marketing. Request a customized demo of Emma's email marketing platform today at myemma.com. Again, that's myemma.com. Can you take me back to the day you started Bridesmaid for Hire? It's such a great story. It was like, what were you thinking about? How are you feeling?
Yeah, so I started Bridesmaid for Hire on a Friday night in June of 2014. I think I had hit rock bottom in terms of, I was frustrated. I had been to an event and I had asked these people if I could speak at the event and they laughed in my face and they said, "You're a nobody." And I remember that rejection was just moving around in my stomach, and I had this crazy idea in my head about being a bridesmaid for hire, because days prior that week, I had 2 distant friends ask me to be a bridesmaid, and my roommate had nicknamed me a professional bridesmaid. So I had all these thoughts in my head, plus this like rage of anger toward me feeling like I was a nobody. And I just said to myself, why not try a crazy idea, and why not do it without telling anybody? And that's exactly what I just did.
And so you made a Craigslist post.
I did. I was a poetry major in college. I had no business experience, but I always wanted to start my own business. And I thought to myself, okay, where do you take a crazy idea and test the market? And I figured, what better place than Craigslist.com? It could be anonymous, and I could see if I got responses. So I posted an innocent ad on a Friday night, I offered my services to strangers as a hired bridesmaid. I said I would do things like dance with your drunk uncle. I would pick up your dress if you had a pee. I just wrote about all of the things I had done for my friends that seemed like I should be getting paid money to do them. Yeah. And I didn't tell a person. I posted it on Friday. I lived my life on Saturday and Sunday. I didn't go on my computer, check my email. And then Monday, I'm at work, and the ramifications of this post hit me in the head, and I realized very quickly that the ad had received 250 responses to it. Not only that, but media stations picked it up, and it went viral. And I sat there at my full-time job. I was a copywriter at a tech startup thinking, oh my God, what just happened, and what are we going to do now?
How did you kind of take that viral moment and turn it into something that you're still doing 4 years later?
It's really interesting because I never realized this until that moment happened, but everything you experience in your life has a purpose, and you don't realize why you're collecting all these skills until one day you suddenly need them all. And I had started websites before for my blog, and I had a background in PR, and I was a writer, so I pulled all those skills. I built a website. I made packages for brides based off of the emails I was getting. And I kept up with the media. I kept pushing it. And I realized I had no money to put in for advertising or marketing. But if I could get the media interested for a month or 2 months, I can get some of my initial clients and I can get this off of the ground. So I immediately didn't think twice about it. I started the business. People were calling me, texting me, emailing, saying, have you lost your mind? You're crazy. And I really believed in my gut that there was something to it. And I booked my first client a couple days later and found myself on an airplane to Maple Grove, Minnesota to work her wedding about a month after that.
That's a month. That's so fast. Like, how did you get to the point where you felt, or, you know, or did you not feel just like confident that you could like keep it going?
I don't think I felt confident that I can keep it going for a while. Yeah. I was lucky because I had my full-time job, so this was sort of the thing I would play with in the morning at night and sometimes at that full-time job secretly. And it started picking up. It started getting busier and busier. I started enjoying it. I built more packages. And then I got laid off from my full-time job, completely unexpected. And I remember my job was actually a couple blocks away from here. So even walking here today, I was like,
flashbacks.
Someone gonna fire me?
No.
But I remember I left that building that day and I thought to myself, I never want to go work for somebody again. Mm-hmm. I need to figure this out. And that was the fire I needed to make sure that this worked and other projects worked on the side so that I could always be an entrepreneur and never have to go through the process of asking for a raise when I knew I deserved it and getting laid off when I knew I didn't deserve it.
That's real.
That was tough. It was tough.
At what point in the process were you laid off?
I guess I was laid off about a year and a half into Bridesmaid for Hire. But the thing was, I was living a double life. I was working full-time at Bridesmaid for Hire and this job, and nobody knew. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk about Bridesmaid for Hire at my full-time job. I was really committed to my full-time job, and I kept them both very, very separate and very secret from each other. So it was a bit of a shock to get laid off because I thought I had done such a good job of working really hard and living that double life. But the company was a startup, and they had to lay off 60 people, and my name was on the list.
So what does the business look like today?
So 4 years later, it's evolved, it's changed. I've worked with over 100 clients. I have many different packages, things that serve the bride. I have a wedding consultant package where we talk on the phone. I help you through challenges that maybe you'd call your friends for, but they're not wedding professionals. I have the traditional bridesmaid for hire package where you hire me to be your bridesmaid. I show up, I walk down the aisle, I give the speech, and nobody ever knows. It's a complete secret, and I pretend to be your friend. We really do become friends.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and then I have a bunch of maid of honor packages where I write the speech for the maid of honor. I plan the bachelorette parties for the maid of honor without the bride knowing. And occasionally I have mother of the bride packages where I work with mother of the brides to calm them down because sometimes they're a little bit crazy with the wedding. But the newest and latest package I've had for the last 2 years is a course that teaches people how to start their own bridesmaid for hire business. Because in the 4 years, I've had about 27,000 people apply to work for me, and never could I hire all of them. But reading through some of the applications, it's a bunch of people who are so intrigued by this idea and want to start something cool for themselves. So I put together everything I had learned, all of my skills, into a course and have the opportunity to train amazing, incredible people who then go off and start their own crazy company, whether it is a spinoff of Bridesmaid for Hire or it's just a unique idea that they never felt empowered to do.
Do you know how many businesses have sort of been created because of that course?
I've had about 75 people take the course, and I know that there's been about 25 different businesses that I've heard of from the course that they've followed up with me about. So, and they've been everything from things in the wedding space to things outside of the wedding space to people just saying, I don't really have an idea, but I took this course because I want to start thinking of one in the future. So it's just, you know, these are skills that you don't learn in school. When I went to school, there was not an entrepreneurial major. There wasn't even like a digital marketing major. And a lot of times we go through our life knowing just one skill, one career. And sometimes you want to learn from a person who was in that boat and sort of had to learn it themselves, make every mistake, and is now trying to teach it to people.
Is it just you now, or do you have a staff as well that you're working with?
I do. So I've had a lot of people work for me in the past. Sometimes I have weddings where the bride wants to hire like five people, so I have a team of people. Right now I have one main person who will work weddings with me or for me when I can't go, and other people who are on call for other weddings. But I manage and run the business and do all of the marketing and PR completely myself. I've never spent a dollar on advertising or marketing or PR.
For somebody who's sort of in that position, like they're really scrappy and bootstrapping everything, like what's your advice for generating that self-proliferating buzz?
The thing is, you have to be extremely persistent.
Yeah.
I made it a goal to get on the Today Show and a bunch of other places, and it didn't take one email. In fact, it took 20 emails of rejection. Mm-hmm. You need to get over rejection. You need to aim for failure. I would wake up in the morning and say, how am I going to fail really hard today? And go after that. And you just get immune to it. And you send these emails, and you know no one's going to reply. And then 27 emails in, they do. So if you're going to be scrappy, you have to be persistent. Nobody is ever going to knock on your door and say, here's a free advertisement on Facebook ads, or here you can be on the Today Show. Like, right. That doesn't happen. You have to push your way in, but you also need to do it creatively. Don't follow templates. Don't follow things you read that have worked for other people. You need to do it in a unique and interesting way. And I've always stood out because I have been myself and I've never followed a generic template. People will tell me they've opened my emails and read them, and maybe I wasn't qualified for a job or a position, but they had to meet me because it was so weird. It was like the strangest email they've ever received. And it was because I was myself and I just spoke to them. And I think if you don't have any money, you want to self-fund it, you really have to find ways to be creative, but also be yourself at the same time.
Can you remember like a specific instance where you sent like a really weird email and like what that looked like?
I also do a lot of teaching on the side, and I wanted to teach more classes. So I found this person who teaches public speaking classes, and I reached out, I emailed them, and the email was so bizarre. He called me 10 minutes after I sent it, and I forgot what I said in the email, but it was very real and funny, and it showed my personality, and it by no means inflated my list of accomplishments, because I'm not a trained public speaker. I just like to do it, but it showed heart and it showed passion, and it's been the same thing. I've been on over 500 media outlets, and I've done it completely myself, and even to get on the Today Show three times, those emails have been not a press release. You know, those emails have been, here's what I know your audience likes. Here's my story, but here's the story that I know your audience is going to like. No TV show cares that you have a book out or you have a business. They want to know the heartbeat of your story. And if you don't lead with that, they're not going to find it for you.
What's the craziest wedding you've been a part of?
Wow. I've been in a ton. I get asked that question a lot, and it's so hard to think because every week I'm like, okay, this might be the craziest week of my life. Right. But I wrote a whole book about it called When You Least Expect It, stories about walking down the aisle for strangers. The craziest situation that has happened to me at a wedding was 5 minutes before the wedding happens, the bride grabs my arm, pulls me in a room, locks the door, and says, Jen, I hate the groom. She didn't want to go through with it. Something must have happened. And meanwhile, she had other bridesmaids, but I was her hired bridesmaid, and she felt like she could tell me because the truth of it is we open up to strangers more than our own friends. And long story short, I helped her out. We fixed it up. She went through with the wedding, but it was like a fake thing. Like, she told the guy she doesn't love him, but they just went through with it because they had 300 guests waiting for them to come out.
That's crazy.
And it was such an awkward night. But I remember when she
looked at me. Do you know if they got divorced?
I haven't. I've tried to follow up with her, but I haven't heard. And I just remember, like, I've been doing this at that point for 3 years. I had thought I had seen it all, heard it all. And then in that moment, my entire body went numb. And I just remember thinking, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, this isn't a movie. This is real life. And it's now my issue. And I don't blame her. You know, people talk about cold feet, and oftentimes that happens right before you're about to do that moment. You know, if you're gonna go skydiving right before you jump out of the plane, you're gonna question everything.
Sure.
And at weddings, I see that very often.
That leads right to my next question. Like, what have you learned? You're part of the most like nerve-wracking days of people's lives. Like, what have you learned about managing stress? Or not managing stress, just sort of going with it.
As the person on the job,
yeah,
I am at my most calm when the world is falling apart around me. Which is why I think I'm great at this job, is because when I'm working and there's chaos, I thrive. Mm-hmm. Now in my personal life, it's the opposite. I implode. But I do think a big reason why people who get married and have a wedding are stressed out is because look at the dollar amount that you've spent on this wedding.
Yeah.
Not only that, but look at the pressure you're putting on this one day of your life. I mean, you are marrying a person that you've known for probably less than a handful of years. You know, it's a lot of pressure you're putting on one day of your life. There's never been a day of my life where everything's been perfect.
Yeah.
You need to have realistic expectations. And also, you know, and this isn't, you're not asking for wedding advice, but if you're going to get married, do what you want. I mean,
yeah.
If you don't understand a tradition, don't do it.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things every bride I talk to, whether it's someone I've worked with or a friend or a person on the street, will always say to me is, if I did it all over again, I wouldn't do this, 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 or this.
Yeah.
Because they did all of those things because everyone told them they had to.
There's a lot of expectation placed on a one day.
It's one day, and it's also the start of your adventure with another human being. Not to say everything could go wrong with them, but it's more of, hey, let's just enjoy this moment where there's very few times in our life where we do gather with every single person we know, and very few happy times, in fact. So make it just a day where you are grateful that those people are in that room and alive and next to you. And don't worry if the flowers are the wrong color or the cake falls on the floor or the power goes out or you spill red wine on your dress.
Have all those things happened?
All of those things happen monthly. And
yeah.
But that's life. Like, I go out to a fancy restaurant and I get, you know, I get pasta sauce on my shirt. What's to say that's not going to happen on that dress?
Sure. Working with all these families and couples, like, what have you observed about what it takes to build, like, strong relationships?
I think one of the things I've learned about relationships, whether with a spouse or with your family, is that you need to be honest and open with them. I think, and I've worked with a lot of brides who have looked me in the eye and said, I'm only getting married to this person because I'm of this age and I just want to settle down. I think what I've learned is that you need to be honest with yourself, and you also can't compare your life to those around you. I always hated weddings. I still hate weddings. I do this job because I love people in really hard situations. And I find that a lot of people fall apart on their wedding day because they've isolated those that are close to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they've fought with their mother, they fought with their best friend, and now they don't have anybody else. So I think it's really important to value the people around you and also realize that, you know, you need to plan your wedding with other people in mind and not make it just about you, because there's other characters mm-hmm. for the wedding.
So sort of this idea of settling or trying to fit into a box. Like, I know that you have a coaching business too, and I know that you've talked a lot about, like, imposter syndrome, and especially with, you know, personal life events or business. Like, how do you, was there a time when, like, you felt imposter syndrome, and how did you move past it?
Oh, I feel it every single day. I mean, I think it's such a normal thing to feel.
Yeah.
I feel it when I have failed so many times. I start to feel it, you know, maybe I'm not meant for this, or, you know, maybe I'm fooling everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think about it all the time with Bridesmaid for Hire. When people call me an entrepreneur, I thought about it on the way here. I'm like, are you an entrepreneur? You're not selling, like, actual products. You don't have an e-commerce site. Like, are you actually an entrepreneur? And then I take 10 steps back and I'm like, stop.
Yeah.
You know, like, why are you questioning it? You've built something, and you've built something weird, and you've disrupted a space. But I think it's a normal thing to feel. A lot of times what I'll teach people, and this has helped me with social anxiety, because sometimes when I have like a little social anxiety at parties or whatever, I'll carry a list in my pocket of like 10 things I'm super proud of, or like 10 things like I'm really like I'm proud of myself at, about, or things I'm strong at. And I'll carry that list and I'll look at it and be like, you know, you've done a really good job with this, and you have a good heart, and like all these things to remind yourself to snap out of it, because I could coach you through that all day, but you're going to leave me and you're going to feel and how you want. So you need to have things in practice that can change that mindset for you. And sometimes for me, that's as simple as thinking, what are you doing right now? You know, why are you questioning everything?
Yeah, this is a good idea, especially for like networking scenarios.
Oh,
you feel
God.
Like
what
everyone,
do you bring? Yeah.
What do you bring to the situation?
Yeah. And I think social media honestly makes everyone feel a little bit of an imposter, because sometimes when we look at other people's social media or even what we're posting, we're only posting a highlight reel. Yeah. And last year, 3 days before my book came out, my Instagram was hacked and deleted. Mm-hmm. And it was the greatest thing that had ever happened to me, because I lost 2,000 pictures, I lost all my followers, and it was a wake-up call to say, none of that matter. Like, everything you've lost, who cares about? It's like when things get erased from your phone, who cares? Mm-hmm. And it gave me a chance to start over and try to be more honest on social media.
Speaking of starting over, I know that you've been sort of doing this kind of digital nomad journey over the last several months. How many cities have you lived in recently?
Yeah, so August 1st of last year, it was time to move in with my boyfriend, and I panicked. We both work from home. So for one whole year, we've been living in a new city almost every month. There have been some months where we return to New York, or we live in a city that we love longer, but we don't have a home. We don't have stuff. We sold 90% of our belongings. We don't have a lease anywhere. We Airbnb or Craigslist or Facebook a home for that period of time. We've lived in Portland, Austin, Venice, Brooklyn, Manhattan. We're going to go to Denver. We've sort of been all over, and it's been a great life experience and adventure, because it's really brought me back down to life. I think I was feeling a little bit in my own world here, sort of sad, sort of disconnected from everything, and it's shaken me up having to pack and move every month and live in someone else's home in a city where you don't know anybody and make friends. I've made some awesome friends in cities that I didn't know a single person in, and it feels as cool as meeting friends in college again, because it's hard to make friends. So it's been a really cool adventure. We have no plans of settling down. It's been really awesome. Sometimes you miss having a home. You wear the same thing every day, and you know, you only have one suitcase, so you don't buy things. But the hardest part, I'd say, is I collect books. I love books. And I have a whole carry-on suitcase right now of books, and I need to get rid of them.
How many books?
I think I have like 15 books I brought back from California, and I am like slowly getting rid of them. I've read them. I just need to like give them to people. It'll make me feel better.
You should do like a, like sort of one of those free little lending library, like trees, right?
I know. I books are the only thing I've ever, since I was a child, brought me comfort and joy to look at.
Tangible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like even just staring at a pile of books in this room right now makes me feel like I'm in a meditative state. So
that's good though.
Traveling is hard because you have to really cut back on what you bring with you.
Well, you could always go into the, if you're flying somewhere, just like the newsstand and just sort of like commune with the books.
That's what I do. I like read them until they kick me out. They're like, either buy it or get the heck out of here.
You've had a lot of different jobs, and you sort of had this experience over the last year. What advice do you have about sort of knowing when to take the leap at a new opportunity?
I think that everybody should start right now. That doesn't mean quit your job today. That doesn't mean put in your 2 weeks' notice. That means start, whatever that is. That might mean open up the box that has your microphone for the podcast you've wanted to start. That might mean buy the domain name for your blog. That might mean research your competitors for a company. But you don't want to waste time. You know, life is extremely short. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not even promised 2 minutes from now. What are you waiting for? You're never going to be smart enough, confident enough, rich enough, have enough time, enough energy. Like, you literally only have now, so you have to start. And that could just mean the baby steps. I put off starting a podcast for so long, for so many reasons. I literally stared at the microphone for months, and then I just opened the box, and then the next day I plugged it in, and then the next day I did this. And 2 months later, you know, you launched the thing, and it's a beautiful thing, but you have to start now because nobody's going to force you to start. And unless you have a life-changing event that happens to you, you're not going to be inspired to start. So you almost just have to do it right now, but do it smart. Don't pull all your savings and spend it. You know, don't quit your job. I'm very honest with the fact that, you know, since I've been laid off, I run Bridesmaid for Hire, but I have like 6 side jobs too that I do. You know, you live in New York City, you make it work. If you're into that hustle, then you can totally do it.
Great. Well, Jen, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This is great advice.
Thank you. So fun.
I'm so glad. So where can the people find you on the great internet?
You can learn more about me at jenglance.com, on social media at jenglance. My podcast is You're Not Getting Any Younger, and my book is When You Least Expect It, available on Amazon.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jen.
Yay, this is so fun.
That's our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. How Success Happens comes out every week. To catch each episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Like, share, and leave us with a review so we can always be improving. Go to entrepreneur.com for more episodes of this show and our other great podcasts. It's entrepreneur.com. Thanks.